This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. This is Frida Liu. It's Resource Center. It's Her Vantage today, where we speak to women of influence and leadership. Now, she organized the first Malaysia Women Marathon in 2013. The Malaysia Women Marathon, MWM, focuses on the celebration of women in the world of running. The world record for women's marathon is only 10 minutes behind the men's. What drives Karen Low to do this, and what does she hope to achieve? I'm here with her, obviously. Welcome, Karen.
Good afternoon, Frida.
Okay, so Karen, a little bit about yourself and this whole idea behind running. When did you discover the love for running?
Sometime at the end of 2009. Mm-hmm. I had no idea what running was all about, but all I knew was I've put on so much weight for, you know, having my children, and I needed to lose and go down into the slim figure and wear your prenatal trousers.
Okay.
So I went out to run with the neighbors, and they took me to Penang Bridge Marathon.
Okay.
And I went into a half marathon without knowing and without doing proper training. As you know, longer distance runs, you need to at least start with a 5 kilometer run, move on to 10, yeah, and go on to 15.
No, not you. No,
I had no idea. Sometimes ignorance is really bliss. So I just went in, and I did, I think, about 2-3 weeks of running.
Okay.
And that was it. Penang Bridge at the end of the year 2009. I ran the next day. Of course, crossing the finish line was a big jubilation.
Yeah.
You get a hang of trying to finish a run. And it's 21 kilometer. Imagine how long it would have taken normally for a person to do that 21 kilometer without much training. So I took two hours and a half, crossed the finish line, felt the joy. But the next day, I walked light. I couldn't even take one step forward. No, okay. It was heavy legs, pain at the hamstring, pain at your quads, mm-hmm, you know, in between your thighs. And those were the feeling that you get. But the joy of running remains in you because of the achievement that you've done.
Right. Now. And then, so 2013, 4 years, 5 years after that.
Five and a half. Five years, 8 months.
Right.
To today.
And you decided to organize, no, but from 2009 to 2013, right, you decided to organize MWM. No, why? Why did you decide to do that?
Well, at that time, I have taken running into a little bit more serious mode. Mm. I took up to the extreme, in fact. I ran one marathon a month from 2011. So I was just doing a lot of running.
Yeah.
And that got me thinking, because as I went on to see a lot more events, mm-hmm, I went to run in Thailand, I went to run in Australia, I went to run quite a lot around this region. And I've noticed that Malaysia lacks the involvement of women in the sports of running.
Mm.
And the turnaround was at year 2012, mm-hmm, when I saw a sort of a report from the Standard Chartered Kuala Lumpur Marathon, which is by far the biggest marathon in Malaysia. And there were only 400 women in the category for running a full marathon. And
right.
I thought, you know, having progressed from 21 to 42 kilometer, which is the marathon, the term marathon is actually you have to run 42 kilometer
point 42.195
to be exact. So, and I said it wasn't all that difficult for me to try to run the full marathon.
Uh-huh.
And I wanted to make awareness for people that running wasn't so difficult.
Okay.
I've done, by then, until 2013, I would have achieved about 25 marathons.
Full
marathons in about 2 years.
2 years. Yes. Yeah, some days I know that you do 2 marathons in a day.
I've done 2 marathons in a day to run for charity for that. But that's aside for me. Anyway, so because of the lack of awareness on women in sports, uh-huh, I thought having a Malaysia woman marathon, uh-huh, would create awareness to the benefits that you can get from running, and also to increase the pool of women running in Malaysia.
Okay, so you don't find that you were saying that you, because I was thinking, do you need a race specifically for women? We have a lot of races now in Malaysia. Doesn't it cater to women as well?
In terms of the environment or the camaraderie you can get from an event. Sometimes it's very personal when you have a woman's event specifically. Like in MWM, if for you, for those who are pretty new to this event, it's a three-day event. We have a woman dialogue session. We have some workshop planned for women. And then we go for a run where... The uniqueness about Malaysia Women Marathon is that in the full marathon category, we have a teamwork. The men can participate, but only in the full marathon category. Okay. So the men can participate and come in to be a pacer for the women who feel that, you know, they're a little bit intimidated by the distance, but they want to try it. They want to achieve running that distance. Having somebody next to them. Okay. So it can be a husband, it can be their coach, it can be a trainer, it can be just, you know, father, uncle, brother, coming and coming on board to see you achieve that long distance.
And you purposely do it during the International Women's Day month anyway.
Yes,
in March every year.
March every year, just to acknowledge how far women have come. You know, it wasn't an easy attempt for women to come into sports of running full marathon. As we know, the first speaker for Malaysia Women Marathon is Catherine Switzer.
Yeah.
She championed the right for women to run the marathon. We were banned from running marathon.
Wow.
Imagine that, Frida. We were banned from running marathon until 1972.
Wow.
When we were finally accepted as capable and not medically unfit to do a marathon.
I know when I hear that, I was thinking, wow, 1972.
1972, that's right.
You would think it'd be something in the 40s.
40 years ago.
No,
and then, you know, men were allowed to run in the Olympics as early as 1896. That was the first Olympics. Right. Now, women didn't even have that opportunity until 1984, before we were given that that opportunity to run. Show that
whether it's
we
100
can.
Meters or
exactly.
1984.
Yes. So we have a lot to be, you know, to let the world know.
Okay. So with MWM, have you seen any records broken, Malaysian records or whatever?
Okay. In the first MWM in year 2013, we had a very very, very fast Australian runner, Emily Donkers is her name. And when she came to run in Malaysia, we were so amazed by her because we had just flagged off the 10 kilometer. And of course, the half marathon runners
started earlier.
But before we could, you know, actually get ourselves ready at the finish line to welcome others to come back, she was already coming back. So we had to rush everybody to barricade and give, you know, certain opportunity and for the cameraman to have photo op sessions. So, and she was running in really fast. And if I'm not mistaken, she was there and set the record at 1 hour, 20 minutes.
For the half
marathon, which is actually a very fast time.
Okay.
In a humid condition in Malaysia.
Yeah. What kind of numbers have you seen participating in the various categories, and have those numbers grown over the years?
Okay, so we want to analyze whether it's
from
grown
2013 to 2015. Okay. It's only been 3 years.
So it's only been 3 years, but we've had the great time for the 3 years. Okay, 2013, we launched it just about 2 to 3 months before the event. But we picked up speed. So in the end, we ended up with slightly over 2,000 participants.
Right. Overall.
Okay. Overall. 2014, we had doubled the number of participation. So that was actually quite a good response.
Yeah.
And we were very motivated to move on. 2015, we were slightly smarter because in doing our registration, we wanted to see if the pool of women running the marathon actually progressed, actually moved. So we asked questions in our registration, and we would say, is this your first marathon? Is this your first half marathon? Is this your first 10K? And we were able to record 200 new runners. And mind you, at that year, for 2015, this year, we had another long distance run. So the seasoned women runners who are more comfortable in 42 kilometer had moved to, they may have graduated to a longer distance. So that was a long run. And we already had this, we kept track about women who can do longer. And these were new runners. So we were very happy that we recorded 200 new full marathon runners for this year.
Right.
And that's a lot. Because
people want to do 42 kilometers, 200.
200
new
for
women.
Yes. Wow. So we were very happy, and we know this it was a mark of improvement. Mm. And we had about 400 new runners for 10 kilometers. And obviously, 10 kilometers is always the biggest biggest group.
And you'll see me there.
No, Frida has done the full marathon, and we're always very proud.
But I'm very happily, you know, settled at the 10.
At
but anyway.
10, 10 is a good distance.
Enough time
and
to
a
grab
21
breakfast.
Is what women love. The most women like to run 21 kilometers. We also mark an increase in the 21 kilometers.
As in women doing the 21 for the first time.
That's right.
Okay. Yeah. Now, you know, there's a thing as well. Can women, can people run injury free? Because we do hear a lot of people running and, you know, always come up with a bit of damage.
It's a lot about how you
technique.
Take care of yourself when you're running. A lot of people do good warm-ups.
Mm-hmm.
So you see the runners who don't get injured as often as others. They do a lot of warm-ups.
And cooling down.
And cooling down. Cooling down will be more essential to warm-ups. Because sometimes if you're not really going full speed at the beginning, you warm up along the way. But cooling down, it's a lot about stretching and a lot about making your body feel relax the muscles that you have tensed up or you have used along the way. It's strenuous for one person to run that distance and then, your muscles are really worked on really hard.
And for you, you're injury-free.
I have been injury-free from 2011. In my entire running life, I've only faced one injury. And that was because of the shoe I wore. It worn out. You see, shoe has a lasting lifetime, lifespan.
Yeah.
And I've worn out the shoe without realizing it. I was doing a trail run and coming down the hill pretty fast, you know. When you're in the nature, it's also a very nice feeling to run. And I had not taken care of how I was running. My running gait was not probably good. And I injured my bursa sac, which was actually a lubricant layer between the muscles and the bone. And that was the only injury I have ever had. I mean, apart from that, I mean, yes, you get this little soreness, your lactic acid builds up, and they disappear along the way. Shoes are very important. You will need some shoes that are good for you if your feet is overpronated or your feet is sub. There are shoes for you to wear to ensure that you have sufficient cushion for your impact.
Right. Okay. And what goes into organizing these races? We'll find out from Karen Lowe from Iron Girl Marathon, organizer of the Malaysia Women Marathon, after this. Resource Centre, BFM 89.9.
Blimey! Football madness on BFM 89.9.
We're not talking about football, we're talking about running. You're listening to Resource Centre. It's Her Vantage, where we speak to women of influence and leadership. I'm here with Karen Lowe from Iron Girl Marathon, and she's also the organiser behind Malaysian Women Marathon. 3 years, and of course, you know, there's next year as well. And so MWM 2016 will be International Women's Day Month.
We always look into the International Day Month. It's the reason that we celebrate women's development. We celebrate women's achievement. We celebrate women's self-esteem, self-development, whatever that needs to make it known that women are given opportunities.
Right. What goes into organizing these races? Because, you know, sometimes people say, oh, races are so expensive. But there's a lot behind the scenes.
It's a lot of hard work. Mm-hmm. First of all, you've got to come up with a great budget plan.
Okay.
That budget plan will help you go all the way to see if the event is going to be slightly of an international level or not.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And of course, looking for sponsors, trying to appeal to them. Having said that, we are a gender-centric event, and sometimes sponsors are more keen to look for more encompassing kind okay. of feature. Like you get have to get men involved.
Right.
It's mass. It's more mass appeal. Mm. The reach is further. So these are the little obstacles that MWM's organization has to take into consideration. We have to buck up our presentation. Mm. You know, our presentation deck has to come up with lovely features as well. But as you know, we've seen MWM's attire, MWM puts out for their running wear. And these are the things that we need to build the hype for Malaysia Women Marathon. It's a Malaysian brand.
Right. We go for road shows as well, right?
We do some road shows. We've even taken a step to go overseas for promotion.
Mm-hmm.
That takes a lot of money and that goes into the budget. And that needs more support in a sense that if we have bigger budget, we can roll over with more that we have saved
right.
for each year.
Okay, so and I know you have... So is MWM part of AIMS? Or is that the goal? Okay.
AIM stands for Association of International Marathon.
Mm-hmm.
And that is it's like FIFA to football.
Mm-hmm.
So most of the well-acclaimed marathon needs to be affiliated to this okay. association. So you need to be part of the members.
I know Standard Chartered.
Yes, Standard Chartered is Penang Bridge Marathon is. And that's our goal.
Right.
Because we want the Malaysian Women Marathon to have a sanctioning attribute, meaning that any women who run Malaysia Women Marathon gets this point as a qualifying round to proceed to another championship run.
Okay, the Bostons okay, and the...
Something, okay. yes. Of, we'll take Boston for one.
Yeah.
Boston needs a qualifying round right. for you to meet that qualifying time. And if you want to run in certain races, you need to look for the feature, whether it is AIM certified run.
Okay, so these are so that's the goal yeah. right now. And so what?
And obviously, one of the reasons why Malaysian Women Marathon needs to have this certification is that we want to acknowledge our champion to have a level higher.
Mm.
Right now, it's looked at as a boutique run, you might call it, but we need to move on. That scale. It's just like somebody wants to achieve, going up the corporate ladder in a corporation. It's just the same.
When
it's,
you want to move
the
up,
same
with MWM, you want to move up the scale, is it the number of people running? No, it's not. That's not what they're looking at. Oh, that you've got to have 20, 30,000 people. Is that one of the considerations for AIMS?
No.
Okay.
That's not the consideration for AIMS. But having said that, we have different labels in marathon.
Mm.
That is also one of the IAAF ruling.
Right.
And the IAAF ruling will determine what level of the event. So you will have a bronze level label
mm-hmm.
marathon, a silver label, and a gold label. Mm. And in gold label, you will achieve at least a certain number of people running in the event, a number of coverage from the media and if I'm not mistaken from live coverage of television as well.
I see. Yes. Okay.
There are certain qualifications and certain conditions for us to achieve that. Having said that, it's along the way that you will need to build up as an international event.
Okay, so now I guess 3 years on and now into the fourth year of organising the races, there's a template for you to follow having learned from the first one. But with the first one, what was it that you learned? And
what was that I learned to keep going?
Okay.
The first one was a strange experience.
Okay.
And it's a woman trying to run the show.
Yeah.
And as usual, you get hiccups along the way when you start to approach people. And they say, of course, in 2013, we've not seen a woman's event.
Yeah.
And this was going to be something different.
Yeah.
So, a lot of people were very skeptical whether it worked.
Yeah.
And then I went on, and then I asked around. I say, is it possible that we do this, we do that? And you get your feedbacks from people, and they weren't sure that it was going to grow bigger.
Mm.
So, again, sponsors was one of the issue. But it worked out. 2003 was actually quite successful, and we moved on. As we can see, 2014, we had our numbers doubled from the first year.
Is there a charity element to the run?
We normally try to get involved with AWAMS. They have certain programs. Mm-hmm. So we will try to get certain percentage of our profit or whatever we have saved along the year, and we would give back a certain portion. Like, if I'm not mistaken, last year we had a charitable event at the end of the MWM 2014, and we gave a certain amount of money. Okay. I think if not mistaken, 5,000 to them.
Okay,
yeah. So small amount, but we try to achieve that.
What new developments do we see for 2016? Anything new and exciting?
2016's team, as all MWMs have teams, will be never give up.
Okay,
so we have this new team that says never give up.
Right.
We are looking into getting, of course, another inspirational speaker.
Okay.
And this time somebody from Australia who has met with an accident and she's on a comeback.
Right.
And she built up her life after the accident. It's a horrifying accident.
Right.
We will speak more about it when we have our promotional
Okay, so you're not disclosing the name
yet. Yes, we can't really.
So when can people register for the run?
October, we will open our registration in October, end of October.
And then you'll be announcing who that person is in October as well.
Yes, we will.
Okay, all the best for MWM 2016. I'm speaking to Karen Lowe from Angle, marathon organizer of the Malaysia Women Marathon. It's Resource Centre, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.